Welcome to Podcraft, where we're honing the art of podcasting. This week I'm talking to Mike Russell from Music Radio Creative. We're going to talk everything from podcasting events, podcast audio branding, and the state of podcasting in the UK. Hey folks, and thanks for tuning in for another episode of Podcraft. So we've got an in-between-isode. Well, that's what we're calling it. I've heard that mentioned a few times around the podcast sphere, so I wonder if it'll catch on, but I'm going to try it anyway. It basically means that this episode isn't so much about the general series topic at the moment. As you'll know if you've been listening, that my current series is on podcast equipment. So we're working through what type of equipment you need to do a podcast, what the best stuff to buy is, what different types of setups you can have for podcasting. So if you're looking for the next podcasting equipment episode, then that'll be the next one on the series. But this is a little in between, I'll include these every now and again, where we're going to talk to other podcasters, people in the industry, hopefully get some insights and tips from them. And Mike certainly gives a few of them during this interview. If you haven't come across Mike and Isabella's work with Music Radio Creative, they do a lot of audio branding, audio production, voiceovers, that type of thing. But then Mike will introduce his work once we get into the interview too. I'll just say before we get in, we'd love some feedback. Please do get in touch. Drop a comment on this podcast. Pop onto thepodcasthost.com/podcraft and you'll see it at the top of the page. Please do drop a comment in. Let us know what you think. Ask a question and let us answer it on the future podcast. So yeah, thanks again for listening and hope you enjoy the interview. Welcome to the podcast, Mike.
Thank you very much, Colin. It's an honour to be on your podcast, especially seeing as it's been going for such a long time.
Well, thank you very much. Yeah, I know it's an honour to have you on. not the other way around, but yeah, thank you very much for the time. But yeah, I suppose, obviously, you're Mike Russell from Music Radio Creative, along with your wife, Isabella, isn't it?
That's right, yes. So we have an audio production company and we specialise in making audio jingles, commercials, voiceovers for radio, for DJs and for podcasters. And as a result of working in that business and working with a lot of podcasters, it all started our interest specifically in podcasting when we went to the States and we went to New Media Expo, and that's kind of what sparked this whole podcasting interest. And the fact that it's kind of blowing up over there at the moment, it's good to see little sparks going off on the UK right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'd be great to have a chat about that later on, actually, just about the events you're running in the community. But that's interesting. So it was New Media Expo that you got you into in the first place.
It was, yeah. So we went to, the very first one we went to was New Media Expo in 2013. Mm-hmm. And I think Isabella and I were just blown away by the amount of podcasters that were doing things. And that was just at the time before John Lee Dumas had really taken off and sort of launched his daily podcast. And then I think, you know, podcasting, you can obviously see how well it's doing in the United States at the moment. But I think in the UK right now, it's also something that's really starting to take off. And obviously, you've probably seen it grow over time, Colin, yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if nothing else, the traffic on sort of just for general podcasting websites and the articles that I write just sort of continually increases. And I don't think that's just me getting better, although I'm sure that's true as well. But no, I think it's just the general popularity. You can see the search trends going up and up and up. So yeah, it's great to see that.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
So what took you to New Media Expo in the first place then, if it wasn't podcasting? Was that something else in your background?
So, well, it's really, I mean, the primary thing was to learn more about podcasting, what it's all about, because we started our original podcast, the Music Radio Creative podcast, mm-hmm. back in 2012. And don't listen to the first 10 episodes. I think that's what every podcaster says, isn't it? Don't listen to the first 10 episodes, because it's just me and it was me experimenting. So I've got a radio background, so obviously I'm not shy of being in front of the microphone, but I realized quite quickly when I started podcasting that I had, as a radio guy, a lot to learn about podcasting, because it's very different, because it's not just about, you know, playing music, announcing the next track. It's actually about connecting with your audience, engaging with your audience, asking provocative questions to try and get, you know, the legendary comments on each episode if you possibly can, and all of that you have to consider. So really, you know, I wanted to learn more about podcasting and new media in general. I want to see what's going on. Obviously, blogging is very relevant to us as podcasters because we all need to write show notes, whether we like to or not. And, you know, video as well. I mean, video podcasts and just the web TV stuff that's going on. So, yeah, really, it was just the whole attraction of new media, but specifically podcasting, I would say. That's why we went.
Yeah, I'd love to get out there, actually. Partly, well, mainly, to be honest, just because of the networking that you could do. Just all the people that are into podcasting in the US, obviously the big names that we've learned from, I guess.
Yes.
That I'd love to just meet up with and have a quick chat with and get to know a bit, I guess.
It's fantastic. And they're just genuine, normal guys like you and I as well. It's funny because, you know, we've met, you know, at the UK Podcasters Conference this year. And, you know, everyone there was so nice and so genuine and so normal. And I still have memories of the first New Media Expo I attended. And like yourself, thinking, oh, I can't wait to meet, you know, Daniel J. Lewis and Dave Jackson.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, you know, people are just there bumping into each other in the corridors and, you know, you're all in the same hotel and it's fantastic. And I still remember, I think it was one of the evenings, it was something like 1 or 2 in the morning and a whole group of podcasters were all sitting around a table in a fast food restaurant inside the Rio Hotel and Casino. And I was sitting there too. And I was like, this is really surreal, but really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I know it's that funny. It's that funny balance where somebody's actually pretty famous in your niche, your sector, but really they're not in the slightest bit famous in reality. So they can still be a normal person. You kind of perceive, if I was to meet, say, Daniel J. Lewis or Dave Jackson, like you say, I see them as really big names and they could just, you know, blow you off and rush down a corridor and, you know, I'm too famous to talk to you. But actually, I mean, I'm sure they're just completely normal guys.
Isn't that funny how we've already got that kind of buzzword in the podcasting, I guess you could call it industry, that there are people who are now podcast famous.
Yes,
and
indeed.
And you know what's going to be the next stage for that? I would ask Colin, because you know, obviously with podcasting getting into cars and more of the general population discovering podcasts, I mean, you know, these people probably have a whole new level of fame to discover yet ahead of them, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that was someone I wanted to have a chat with you about, especially with that kind of state in the UK. So like we say, in the US at the moment, podcasting, well, I mean, do you know, like, what are your perceptions on the percentages or the proportions of people that are into podcasting UK versus US? Do you think there's a lot more of the general public into it or listen to podcasts in the US?
That's a really good question, and I don't have any statistics to back it up, apart from I seem to remember a figure from, I think it was a Nielsen survey. I'm quoting, so I'm not being exact here, but it was around 12 or 13% of the population listening to podcasts in the US, and that stayed steady for the last maybe half a decade.
Right.
So people are saying, oh, you know, podcasting isn't moving, it isn't expanding, but we are kind of, we're waiting now for, you know, the next step to happen with TuneIn and Stitcher and car radios and... I mean, it's fantastic because, you know, just a couple of weeks ago, I was driving from the Isle of Wight all the way to Birmingham, and the whole way I had 3G. So if I wanted to, I could stream podcasts, I could download podcasts. And I was like, this is fantastic. I've driven halfway across the UK and I can listen to whatever I want. So it's got to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that's the exciting bit at the moment, isn't it? It's funny that it's stayed so steady for so long, obviously, because we always see technology is expanding and these things growing out. But actually, the way that people consume podcasts has really stayed quite stagnant for the last 5 years, hasn't it?
I mean,
the biggest development was moving from talking about just the Apple side of things, moving from iTunes to having a podcasting app on the phone. But even that didn't seem to make a huge difference because it was still a choice, wasn't it, that people had to install it manually.
Exactly, and it tends to be the geeks that discover the podcasts, and not the the general population. I think the biggest problem we've got is you know, radio will always currently be the first choice, and you know, a lot of people are happy just to have background music on in the car. I think it's funny because, you know, when people first discover podcasting or even audiobooks, sometimes, you know, you get into it through audiobooks and then you discover these podcasts.
Yeah.
And you suddenly realize, you know, certainly if you're doing a commute to work every day and it's quite a long one, you're like, actually, you know, I don't have to listen to the latest hit music. I can have a university on wheels here.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I know, it kind of confuses me sometimes when I hear people driving for an hour and they're actually just listening to music as opposed to,
yeah,
you know, taking someone in, or at least get, well, it doesn't have to always be learning, doesn't it? There's some great entertaining podcasts, comedy stuff, that type of thing out there.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There's a wide variety. I think that's what makes podcasting so good. You know, particularly in the US, when I've been to New Media Expo, a lot of the podcasters I've met there, they are the technical crowd. You know, historically, New Media Expo has been teamed up with CES, the Consumer Electronics Show. So, you know, it's been full of that crowd that are waiting to go on and look at the newest gadgets. Quite an interesting announcement's happened now where they're teaming up with the NAB, National Association of Broadcasters show. So that potentially is going to be interesting because we can see in the United States now this trend of podcasting trying to mix with the traditional broadcast and traditional radio crowd. And, you know, I wonder whether that's something that will happen in the UK eventually. Maybe, you know, as podcasters will say, actually, you know, maybe we should be talking to radio as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I had read something very recently about that. It was that there was a station, it probably was in the US, I doubt it was the UK, but they were starting to play podcasts. So part of their scheduled show was this half hour was going to be a certain podcast playing. And I mean, that you can imagine that's got to proliferate over the next 2-3 years as they become more well known. I mean, all this content's out there, all these presenters that are producing great stuff.
Yes, I think the winner in, I guess you could call it the whole podcast arms race, will be the company that actually solves that pain, gives a solution to the general consumer on how we actually consume that content. Because at the moment, as you said, it's very difficult, isn't it, Colin? You've got to download an app, you've got to know what to do, you've got to know what you like, you've got to know what to subscribe to. We need one of the big companies out there, like SoundCloud or Spreaker or Audioboom, to say, okay, this is what you'll want to listen to and this is how you're going to listen to it. Essentially, we need someone to create that tier of premium content. And, you know, it's like right now, if you listen to the radio and something terrible comes on, you'll switch off and you might not switch back. And then that's why radio stations won't put on rubbish programs, because they'll lose listeners and they'll lose advertising. And it's, you know, it's going to be the same. One of these big companies is going to figure out how to make a perfect listening experience that will be good for the good podcasters. You know, so if you're doing a good program and it's good audio quality and it ticks all the boxes, then you're going to be in that higher tier. But if you're sort of starting out, and this is why I think it's essential to listen to programs like yours, Colin, because you recommend the right way to go about podcasting, the right equipment to have. And if you're not doing that, you are going to be pushed out, because there will be a company that will figure out how to rank, you know, audio content. Would you go along with that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I suppose the exciting thing at the moment is how easy it is to get into podcasting and how easy it is to grow your audience. Well, not easy exactly, but it's definitely very possible to grow a big audience right now, because partly because the competition's not there, because it's not that popular. But I suppose that's the double-edged sword, isn't it? As soon as it becomes more popular, you'll see more money come into it, and then therefore it'll be harder for your average person to actually compete. If you get into it right now, I would say it's, I mean, like we keep saying, don't we? It's the ideal time to get into
start
podcasting.
Now. But it's interesting because, you know, even Apple, I mean, I didn't mention Apple, but Apple, you know, interesting that they bought out Swell and then shut it down.
So yeah, absolutely.
that's interesting, because Swell figured out how to stitch together, kind of like Stitcher are doing as well, stitch together content and, you know, if you like this, you'll like that, and keep it going so that you have this constant talk radio station. And that's how it's going to be in the car, isn't it? You're not going to be flicking around, starting playlists, unless you're geeky like you and I. You're going to have one channel you switch on, and it plays what you want to hear until you reach your destination. And then when you start the journey again later on, maybe when you finished work, it picks up exactly where you left off, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you know, Apple, in all of this, they have the power to do great things for podcasting as well. And I think one of the first things they could do is make it easier to leave an iTunes review.
That would definitely help. Apple's funny, isn't it? Because there's some things they just do so perfectly, and then other things they just make so terrible.
But if you think about it, I mean, I think the future of curating podcast content is essentially going to be crowdsourced. So essentially, an audio company out there has to make it really, really easy for the end user to add, you know, to add their input on what they like and what they don't like. And eventually, you know, one company is going to get it so right that it will become like the YouTube of audio. And yeah, then everyone will be doing it, and then that big data will all add up, and you'll know what's good and what's bad because the listeners will feed back to you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've always been surprised that internet radio hasn't taken off a bit more. There's so many devices out there now that it's actually kind of hard to buy a higher end audio player for your house that doesn't have internet radio included. But it just doesn't seem to take off just because people don't perceive it in the same way, do they? They just don't switch over to that band. They've always got it on the FM and that's it.
Why do you think that is, Colin?
I think it's just it's inertia, isn't it? It's telling people about it. It's about making it more aware of it, or even just actually not separating it out. I don't see why we have to have it separated out now. Possibly the move to DAB, so that's digital radio in general. Then if people can flick through their DAB channels, but also the internet or radio channels are on the exact same, what do you call it, choice menu, whatever you want to call it, then maybe that'll... It's just, I guess at the moment it's all segregated, isn't it? So people see internet radio, that's got to be crap. It's just internet stuff.
Well, I think that's a key point that you said there, you know, about the perception of the quality of internet radio. And it, to a certain extent, that's the same issue that podcasting is facing at the moment, because you can again, don't judge a book by its cover. You know, the podcast can have the best artwork possible, and then you switch it on and it's someone speaking on a Skype headset.
Yeah, exactly.
So this is the difficult thing, is really finding that good quality content and shaking off that image, but at the same time, you know, keeping it as a meritocracy where, you know, anyone who is producing good content can be found.
Yes.
But essentially you need to find a way of, I think iTunes and other places are starting to do that, but I think there's still a long way to go.
Yeah. I mean, I think even just the search engine thing is a difficult one because iTunes has obviously got a huge monopoly at the moment. And it's quite, well, they've got the ultimate power over whether you're found or not, including stuff like the new noteworthy or the hot or not section, whatever you want to call them. The power that they have at the moment is pretty overwhelming.
Yes.
And I always wonder when somebody is going to take that away, because they can't keep that forever. Somebody is going to invent or just create a good, decent, all-access, open catalogue which people can actually submit to and search a lot more easily with across devices.
Totally.
Yeah, I think keep waiting for that.
Yeah, something that's kind of crowdsourced, and yeah, maybe it's combining input from multiple different locations, perhaps. Yeah.
Perhaps the UK podcast directory could fill
maybe
that.
what I think is interesting about that is that we're starting to see, you know, I'm a fan. I'm obviously, you know, I've worked in traditional media before. I've worked for big companies, you know, big corporations, like Global Radio, like GMG Radio, Bauer, those kind of places.
Sure.
So I kind of know how it works there. But I'm a big supporter of the indie, the grassroots podcaster, the person that's going out there, you know, and trying to get found in the iTunes directory. And, you know, at the moment, if you go to the iTunes podcast section, all the featured podcasts and all the top ranked podcasts you'll see in the main categories will be BBC, will be NHS, will be Guardian, and it's like, as a podcaster, you know, with just as valid content, if not possibly even, dare I say, better content than some of the podcasts by the big corporations, you know, how can we be found when they have, you know, all of this money behind them, they have all of this support behind them, and you know, it's obvious that they're going to be ranked well by iTunes because they know it's going to be good content. If it says BBC on it, they know it's not going to be, you know, recorded on a £5, you know, Skype headset. So how do we stand out from the crowd? And one thing that's really encouraged me about the UK podcasters community is actually since John Colley said it, John Colley from the Online Learning Podcast, he said it at UK Pod 14, I encourage everyone to go out there and support other independent UK podcasters by leaving reviews, you know, on other people's podcasts so they can be found. And, you know, I think that people are starting to see a real effect from that. So perhaps together as a community, we can help each other kind of compete with the likes of the BBC.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, yeah, because iTunes just ranks it by essentially downloads and reviews, isn't it? So as soon as people listen to Radio 1 and they hear a million people hear it all on there.
Yeah.
They're always going to be ahead of us, aren't they? So, yeah.
That's it. Yeah. Right. Some DJ like Matt Edmondson says, go and download my podcast and 80,000 people do it immediately.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how do you compete with that?
Yeah. Even though it's just a bunch of clips from his show anyway.
Yeah.
It's not a podcast.
Oh, that's. We could do a whole new episode about that if you want.
Yeah. Yeah, but actually that leads me on to something I wanted to ask you about, some of your professional expertise, Mike, on the audio branding side of things. So when people want to try and up their audio quality, when they want to try and get themselves noticed a bit more, sort of increase that production value, and that's what you do at Music Radio Creative, isn't it? You help people with their audio branding, create that type of stuff. How important do you think it is? And going from early days to sort of future of your podcast, when do you think you start thinking about audio branding and how do you go about it?
Wow, that's interesting. I've heard a couple of schools of thought about that, but Isabella is the real audio branding expert, and I think if you're podcasting, as a lot of people are now, they're discovering it as a really good content marketing method, essentially for their business or whatever it is they have going on online. They're essentially maybe not trying to make money directly from the podcast, because that can be quite difficult to make a full-time living from a podcast alone.
Yeah.
But certainly if you have a professional brand behind you, then you should certainly think about audio branding straight away, and you should be looking to get that absolutely right from the start, because it is an extension to your visual brand, to your online brand, to everything you're doing. So, you know, if you've got this wonderful, website or blog with great looking graphics, and then you come on, you know, with a terrible recording at the start, you know, people are going to judge your podcast on that. So, yeah. But no, I do think, obviously, I think it's important.
sure.
You know, I also think that getting the content and the flow and the format of your podcast is the most important thing. Focus on that first. And, you know, I say to, you know, another school of thought I've heard, which I think is extremely valid, is a lot of people, you know, don't know if they're going to go beyond 10 episodes. It's a hobby they're starting out. So maybe you want to focus on just getting that content out there, finding out how much hard work it is to create a podcast, as you and I know. And then, you know, and then if you like it, if you get past that magic 7th episode and you realize, yes, I like this, I can do this, perhaps then look to introduce audio branding. But it's interesting. It's a shame Isabella's not here, because I can hear her disagreeing with me right now in my head. So she'd have a different school of thought, I'm sure. But that's my thought anyway.
No, that's great. Yeah, I think I totally agree with probably more your second school of thought than the first, actually. Just get the stuff out there in the early days. And that's kind of what I was interested to hear your thoughts on, was when it becomes a bit more important. But that's, like you say, that's probably exactly what it should be. Do your first 10 episodes or so. Make sure you're actually enjoying it. Make sure you think it's going to be sustainable, that it's working for your audience. And also, actually, in that first state, well, in those first stages, you actually learn what your audience wants, don't you? Because you start to get feedback, and then you can actually tailor your audio branding a bit more to the podcast, as opposed to just transplanting directly, I guess, what you do offline.
Totally. How were your first 10 episodes, Colin?
depends which podcast you're talking about, but my first 10 episodes have been re-recorded probably about 4 or 5 times each.
Oh, wow.
Podcraft, so this podcast that we're on just now, it grew out of, and my first forays into podcasting was teaching it at a university, so teaching lecturers how to teach using podcasts. Cool. So I had a 10-part set of lessons which taught those lecturers how to do it. So I've done that course a whole bunch of times over the last 7 or 8 years. So the very first time I recorded those lessons, I was actually just learning podcasts myself. So there's no way on earth I would let anyone hear those ones.
You can have them tucked away as premium content if you want to find out,
you
know,
exactly
what it's like to do your first 10 episodes.
Yeah, totally. So yeah, that 10 part course, which is series one of Podcraft, actually, that anyone can go back to and listen at any point, is a kind of refined course. And actually, there's still parts of it I would like to change, but I've kind of gone beyond and sort of saying, do you know what, let's just leave it and move on. And
Wow. So as a leading podcast coach in the UK, where do you see Podcraft going in the future, Colin, with all this excitement around podcasting at the moment? You must be pretty excited about the state of podcasting in the UK.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm still feeling, like you said at the start of this, I'm still feeling that buzz off the conference, your excellent UK Pod 14. Just because there was so much excitement around it. I I've been teaching podcasting. I've been running podcasting courses for the past 5 or 6 years, but it's always been a little bit of a, what I felt was a bit of a niche passion, just something that I enjoyed doing that might never become like a full-time income. But just meeting all those people at that conference and even seeing the parallel thing across at, you know, Podcast Movement as well, just hearing the buzz coming out of there too, just at the same time. It's just, I know we've already made the joke that we always say it's a great time to get into podcasting, but I do feel it's a bit of a pivotal point right now, with how many other places are giving access to podcasting. Like you've mentioned, the iTunes car or Apple getting into cars, that type of thing. There's just so many more outlets now. So yeah, I'm really excited about it. I think the thing that I'm thinking about most at the moment is the format of the podcast, because I don't want to add just another hour long just chatting about general topics every single week, which there's some great ones of them out there. We've already mentioned Daniel J. Lewis, Dave Jackson. There's loads of them out there. They do that really well. My kind of aim is just to do more focused stuff. So the series that I run, so this series, even though this is a bit of an in-between episode, because I still want to be able to have conversations with people, but the main bulk of this series is podcast equipment. So what you do, start to finish. And I think there might be a bit more of that going in the future, more of that sort of focused series-based content, just because I'm not sure how sustainable just weekly, constant, always coming up with new topics, different thing every week is. I just, the pod fade is it's a constant, isn't it, in podcasting? People doing 100, 200 episodes, doing really well, and then actually it just, they move away from it. So I want to make sure my efforts are sustainable.
Yes. Totally. I think that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you keep going, I mean, look at obviously Leo Laporte, one of the leading podcasters in the US with his Twit Brickhouse, which I've had the privilege to make the podcaster's pilgrimage to.
Excellent.
You know, and you can see how successful he is with his Twit network. And now it's really, I think it's exciting to see some of the successful podcasters in the US, like Cliff Ravenscraft, who's just recently got his new house and his new studio.
Yeah.
You know, and people like that, you know, obviously we mentioned at the start of the episode, John Lee Dumas, who's seen great success from a daily podcast.
Yeah.
And I think if you do stick at it and you do really push for it, you know, anything is possible in the podcasting world.
Yeah, absolutely. I mentioned Daniel J. Lewis, Dave Jackson, because you mentioned him at the start, but actually my favorite in the US is Ray Ortega. I think he's great. He does such good, such good sort of more nice technical content, which is, satisfies the geek in me, but actually made quite simple as well. So, yeah.
I totally agree. I think Ray is absolutely fantastic. The like you said, the quality of the content he produces is amazing.
Yeah.
And actually, I'll tell you a funny story now. When I first saw a video of you on YouTube, when just before the conference, and you know, we were kind of looking through everyone who had applied to speak and everything, and you made these wonderful videos on what looked like a fantastic DSLR camera. I recommend anyone listening now to check out what's your YouTube channel? What's the address?
It is youtube.com/ColinMCGray, I believe.
Colin MC Gray, and went there, watched one of your really fabulous videos, and I said to Isabella, I said, that's the UK equivalent of Ray Ortega.
Oh, well, I'm very honoured and flattered by that comparison.
so you have fantastic production quality too, Colin, and yeah. So.
Well, actually, funnily enough, I've learned a fair bit of my DSLR stuff from Ray, because he does a lot of videos on that stuff. So yeah, that's not coincidental, I guess.
Yeah,
that's great. No, I think he puts out some great stuff, especially his videos, like the Mix Minus video I refer people to all the time.
Yes.
It's his explanation of how to set up a Mix Minus is great.
And his podcast is Roundtable. Have you been on a round yet?
No, I haven't actually. No.
Oh, you need to get in there.
Oh, I might get in touch. Yeah, put forward a topic. That'd be good.
Yeah. Definitely.
But yeah. So yeah, we always mention the US stuff. So what are your plans of the community? What's your future plans with UK podcasting and the conference as well, to try and get us up to the same standard?
Wow. Well, I think there's definitely a way to go yet in the UK, but I think it's just, you know, keeping everyone together, keeping everyone talking, keeping everyone excited. You know, Dave Jackson said in his video that he made for us, all the UK podcasters at the conference, he said, I remember New Media Expo when, you know, I went to one of the first New Media Expos, and it's like everyone knew each other, and it's, oh yeah, you're so and so, and you're this person. And he said, enjoy that stage now, because eventually it will grow, and you know, you'll start to not know each other, and there'll be more and more people in the space. But I kind of think it is nice, and it has got that intimate feel at the moment. But, you know, for Isabella and I, it's a passion. We absolutely love it. You know, we love the vibe. We love the people so much in the US, and we wanted to see something like that happening in the UK. And I know there is a slightly different mentality, as people often say, between the US and the UK. Yeah. But I think we're similar in a lot of ways as well, you know, and it's all about mindset. And I do think podcasters are really, you know, special kind of people. So, you know, I like being around podcasters. So I guess that's kind of one of my big reasons for doing it, is just to see all these cool people together.
Yeah, just to meet these people. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's funny. I think that was mentioned a few times at the UK Podcasters Conference, the fact that a lot of us there had been to other events. I mean, we'd been to quite a lot of, you know, marketing, digital marketing, stuff, content, all that, all the other type of business promotion, business building type events, which you, the type of people you meet there, possibly not always the most fun to be around. Very, yes, very salesy quite often, sometimes a little bit narcissistic. But actually, just about every single person, in fact, I say just about every single person I met at that conference was just so open, so giving, so generous with chatting, yes, about things. Like, there was no kind of hiding what you're doing or hiding your secrets or your techniques, however. It was always just chatting about, oh, this is working for me, this is working for me, that type of stuff. It was just so generous. I think that, exactly, was the main vibe I got from it.
The Pat Flynn mentality of just give it all away.
Yeah, yeah. I guess that comes from, yeah, exactly. That's what podcasting, well, that must be what draws people to podcasting, isn't it? Because you have to be willing to give so much away when you're giving away an hour of your time every single week and all the content that you're just free over the airwaves. So yeah,
totally. And I mean, something else that really surprised me, I didn't expect this. At the start of the conference, we said, you know, raise your hand if you have been influenced to podcast, or, you know, if you've become interested in podcasting as a result of a US podcaster, and virtually every hand in the room went up. That really shocked me. I was like, wow.
what would you expect other than that, though? Like, would you expect some UK based podcasts of?
Well, yeah, it's interesting. So I guess everyone in that room had somehow thought it would be a good idea to start podcasting as a result of listening to Cliff, to Daniel, to Dave, to, you know, to Ray, to, you know, all of those guys out there. And I was just stunned, and I was like, wow, this is amazing. Yeah. And like you say, all of those people were in the UK somewhere, but they weren't talking to each other. They weren't meeting up. That's why I think it's a fantastic thing that a lot of people over the UK now are sort of taking action and saying, I'll start a meetup in my local area to talk podcasting.
Yeah.
So we got a page on meetup.com, and you're organising Dundee in the Scotland region.
Indeed. Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, actually. And I've got to say thanks again for like promoting that or starting that off, because I think I mentioned to you before the call, like I have tried to do a podcasting one months and months back, but it just didn't really get any traction, because I think because podcasting is still so niche, it's just there's not that central area or that central place where people are looking for news about this type of event, so it's quite hard to get out there. But now that we have more of a central place that people are gravitating towards, it just makes this type of community building so much easier.
That's it. And I think if people can meet, you know, in all different parts of the UK, and it doesn't have to be anything, you know, too flashy and too organized to start with, because I think that's how we're going to get started and attract new people to the community, because this is something I really believe is really important. Is, you know, it's all very well that we're networking between each other and, oh, isn't it great, and, you know, you're technical like me and you download this app like me, but we need to be finding new people who can maybe come to these local meetups. So for instance, if you're organizing in Scotland, you know, how can we access other people who would absolutely love the idea of podcasting but haven't discovered it yet? And that's what we need to hopefully be thinking with all of these local meetups now.
Yeah, you've got me thinking, actually, how am I going to promote this one in Dundee now? Because that's a great point. We need to get the people that aren't currently into podcasting that might want to podcast but don't really know the benefits of it at the moment, isn't it? It's not the people that are already really in. Well, I mean, it's great to talk to people that are already into their podcasting.
Yeah.
But really, we want to persuade people that have absolutely no idea about podcasting that podcasting's great for them.
Well, exactly. And I mean, it's really exciting because, I'm seeing like a lot of different ideas come up in the different regions. And for instance, somebody who's organizing a podcasting meetup in Yeovil in Somerset sent me an email the other day and said, oh, I've just had 100 flyers printed up and I'm going to put them up around the library and the local community center and everything. I'm like, oh, that's cool. You know,
that's great stuff.
That's a way to access different people, isn't it?
Definitely. Well, it just occurred to me, there's a great newsletter goes around the sort of Scottish creative community called Creative Scotland, and they let you advertise that type of event. So I'm going to put it in there, see if I can get some new creatives along and introduce them to podcasting.
Nice. And I see you've already got some really decent Scottish podcasters and content creators who have accepted the invitation and will be going to what's the name of the place again? You probably say it better in your wonderful Scottish accent than I will.
It's Drusty Neighbours. It's advertised for it. It's just a pub in Dundee. So
that's fantastic. So I think I looked it up online. It looks like a really good venue. So actually, I have to say I've never been to Dundee as well. So I would like to get up there for a future podcasting meetup because it looks definitely. Like a beautiful area.
It's a great city. I've only been here for about a year or so now. Moved up from Edinburgh, but it's hugely developing. They're totally overhauling the city. They're redoing the waterfront. We're getting a V&A up here, which is the Creative Museum. So that'll be really exciting when that's finished. And it's just, I think it's a great place to promote this type of stuff. Actually, there's a lot of media startups, a lot of tech startups. There's a huge computer game industry here. So
wow.
Hopefully we can attract a few people in.
Yeah.
So yeah, that'd be great. No, I'm really looking forward to that. And it's only a month away or so, I think. So yeah. How are things going with the down south ones?
Very good. Yeah, it's interesting because I mean, if you look at the page, which is at meetup.com/UK podcasters, you can actually see I think you can sort them in different ways, but you can see which local areas are attracting the most interest. And the thing I love just generally about meetup.com is that it's crowdsourced, so you know, anyone can come in and say, yeah, I'm interested in a meetup in this area, either I'm interested in attending or I'm interested in organizing. And people have various different levels of interest, so you know, some people have jumped straight in and said, right, you know, holiday in Birmingham, we're going to do a meetup there, and some people have just, you know, ticked the box to say yes, I'm interested, waiting for someone else to step in and say I'm going to organize. If you want to know how it's going down south, the most popular location for podcasters, which actually, kind of thinking about it, is no surprise to me, is Brighton, outside of London, of course, because you know, London doesn't count because of course it's the biggest place in the UK.
Absolutely.
But yeah, Brighton, a real creative area in the UK, and I think that's going to be a really interesting place to watch from a podcasting perspective down south. Obviously, Isabella and I, we're from the Isle of Wight, so we have an interest in getting people together on the Isle of Wight, and probably you know, I'm sure we'll have a certain amount of success on the island, but we're also going to do some meetups in Portsmouth and Southampton because we understand that, you know, people who may be living around that area, you know, might not want to pay, you know, what is it in peak season, 80 quid for a return ferry to the Isle of Wight just to talk podcasting at this stage, you know.
Well, do you know, I saw that one advertised and I thought, I'd love to go to the Isle of Wight for a long weekend or just a wee holiday. So I'm going to have to make it over for one of them sometime.
That'd maybe we'll have to have a podcasting boot camp out here at some point.
Oh, that'd be good. That's a good idea, isn't it? Yeah, do a week long, create your first 20 episodes.
Yeah.
Get them queued up. Yeah, no, that's great stuff. I really hope these grow out. And I think I can, just pretty exciting over the next 6 months.
Definitely.
Is there anything you can release about the next event, the next big event, though, the next conference? So are you guys thinking about it at the moment, or are you taking a well-earned break just now?
Well, it hasn't really stopped. As much as, no, we really enjoy doing it, so it's not a chore. What we have done is we've taken a little time off from actually doing anything physical. So obviously the conference was on the 16th of August in 2014. And we're hoping that we're going to have another London meetup sometime towards the end of October. It takes a little bit more to do the meetup in London because we want to arrange certain things. It's kind of a little more sort of organized, I guess, than just meet in a pub or a cafe.
Sure.
So we're working on that at the moment. We're also working really hard on tying down a venue for UK Pod 15, but it is going to be a 2-day conference.
Okay.
And we are already in talks with certain names that you may know.
Okay.
If you like podcasts.
Good. Yes.
So, yeah, more to come on that is all I can say at the moment.
That's great, yeah. No, that's brilliant. Just to hear that you're planning to expand it out, so it's going to be bigger and better next year. That's great.
Definitely. And I think, you know, there was a lot of feedback, good, and you know, obviously we took on board as well. I mean, the feedback was overwhelmingly good, but there were certain comments that we've taken on board. Like, for instance, one of the things that we need to make absolutely is essential for a podcasting community and conference is that there's really good Wi-Fi for UK Pod 15.
Yes, yeah.
You know, everyone wants to tweet, and I think, you know, we did get some people mentioning that the Wi-Fi is a little bit slow.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
at the venue we were at, it was a fantastic venue. I mean, one of the good comments we got about the venue was that the food and drink was nonstop all day. You never went at any point without being able to reach for a soda or an energy bar or a cake. So we definitely want to look at bringing that back in 2015. But yeah, things like having super fast Wi-Fi, making sure that the venue is big enough to accommodate as many people as may be interested in attending, all that kind of stuff. Keeping it, you know, in a reasonably accessible area as well. So, you know, obviously the Isle of Scilly is out, but and the Shetland Isles, unfortunately. But,
oh, dear.
Somewhere accessible in the UK that everyone can kind of get into pretty easily.
Yeah, that's great. No, I'm really looking forward to it. That'd be great.
It's awesome.
Cool. Okay, well, I don't want to take up too much more of your time, Mike.
I really enjoy it.
But, yeah, well, what I wanted to ask about before we go, though, is your new podcast. Well, your new podcasts.
Yes.
So how's planning with that?
Well, it's really interesting. So it's good that I'm not on video as we're recording this on Skype now, because I've got bags under my eyes. I've been working through the night. So we are launching, by the time you hear this podcast, we will have launched 5 new episodes, which actually I had a little bit of success with iTunes. I should share this little tip. But actually, if you type into iTunes, into the iTunes store, mrc.fm, mm-hmm. you'll find all the podcasts that we've released all there. And what they did is they set up an artist page for us as a podcaster. I dropped an email to podcasts@apple.com, thinking I'm not going to hear anything back. I said, oh, we're starting these 5 new podcasts. You know, is there any way, could you create a network page or something on iTunes for them? You know, anything you could do, you know, kind of just left it very open and just see if there was anything. And within 12 hours, they wrote back to me and they said, yep, it'll be live in 1 to 2 working days. And I was like, wow. So we kind of got a little home there on iTunes now. So the idea is to release a new episode every single day, but there'll be an episode every single week on each podcast. So we have 5 podcasts with an episode each week, but every single day, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, there'll be a new episode for each different podcast episode.
Yeah.
And we're doing it as a split test, so we're not saying we're going to be doing this for like 300, 1,000 episodes. We're doing this to find out, you know, where the old music radio creative audience is at and where they want to go. And actually what we're hoping to do as well is publish, you know, statistics all the way through, so we can show you how we're doing with this and what's working. And it's interesting because I released the details over the weekend and kind of sent published a little episode. I'm doing it in stages so I can see what effect each thing is having. So this week I'm going to send an email out to our mailing list about the new podcasts. But over the weekend I just released an episode, so I was interested to see where those people were clicking. And the audio production podcast was the number one most clicked podcast out of all the other ones. We've got one about internet marketing, one about branding, one about our life on the Isle of Wight. We've got another one about podcasting. And yeah, the most popular one was the audio production one. So you can kind of get a sense of where it's going already.
Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah, it's good to hear that they're coming out very soon. I'm looking forward to hearing them.
Yeah.
Because I loved the old Music Radio Creative podcast. I missed that when it finished. So, yeah. But yeah, I have to admit, when I first heard your plan, I was just kind of in my head, are you mental? But I think that you're... your aim there is really laudable, really kind of it's brave, and it's actually really well planned as well. Like the fact that you're trying to do the split testing, actually measuring your analytics along the way as well. I mean, I'm a total data geek. That is what the other work that I do a lot of analytics and a lot of analyzing and split testing and all that kind of stuff. And it's so valuable when you get that kind of information as well. And it makes your podcast more valuable too, because if you can give out those kind of stats, those kind of techniques, those kind of what works, what doesn't, then that makes your stuff so great.
Totally. Yeah. And I just want to add that it's not just myself creating and Isabella doing this. We're actually one of the biggest parts of the workflow for these new 5 podcasts is to have, you know, an outsourced workflow. So we have an audio producer, obviously via Music Radio Creative. So we have a really good audio producer who's going to be editing each episode and inserting music and anything that needs to be done like that. And then it will go off to our virtual assistant that writes the show notes. So yes, show notes are outsourced for all 5 episodes, all 5 podcasts. So it's kind of, we're trying to really get a workflow in place for this. We want to make it as easy as possible because, I realize, just like you say, this is kind of like, are you mad? You know, it's very, very, it would take up probably my whole week to do all of this if I was doing it myself. So we need help. But essentially, we want to get it down to the stage where Isabella and I are coming up. We're having a brainstorm for an hour each week, and we're writing down what we're going to talk about. And then we sit down for another hour and we record all 5 podcasts for the week. And then we pop them into Dropbox. And then from that point on, everything else is taken care of. And that's where we want to get it to, so that we can totally use our time in the best way possible.
Yeah, that's great. So I was just about to ask what kind of routine you're going to go for, but that sounds like a more achievable way to do it is, spend most of a morning getting the whole thing done and then actually done for the week and you're finished off.
Yeah, exactly. So to give you an example, the workflow for the week will be probably Monday morning. We'll sit down for a cup of coffee, 1 hour. We'll sort of bang out the show prep for all 5 episodes in a Google Doc and print it out. And then Tuesday afternoon, we'll sit down and record within the hour. They're usually 10-minute episodes, although Isabella's is turning into a 20-minute. She likes to talk a lot. And she'll love me for saying that.
Yeah.
And so we'll get them all out. And then when they're in Dropbox Tuesday afternoon, our audio producer will pick them up and have them turned around with around 24 hours. So by Wednesday evening, they'll be all ID3 tagged and all ready to upload. And then the rest of the week, our virtual assistant will be looking after show notes, the uploading of them, adding images and stuff like that. I've created tutorials. Great resource I'm using is Basecamp to keep this project all together. So it's all inside Basecamp. And, you know, once one part of the process is done, someone on the team will say, right, you know, the audio is ready. And then, you know, so we can watch how it's going each week. So once all the show notes are done, virtual assistant then uploads and schedules all those episodes to go out. And then the theory is it all just kind of runs.
Yeah, sounds perfect. So an initial period? Have you got an aim, like 3 months in, we're going to look at numbers, if we don't hit these targets, then we're going to drop that one, or have you thought that far ahead, or is it just see how it goes?
We're not being all corporate about it. It's not like, oh, if this one doesn't meet the figures, then it's out. I think we're going to go with our gut, because I think that's kind of always served Isabella and I well in business. It's just like, how are we feeling about this? I don't know if I should let on about this, but there's already one of the podcasts that Isabella isn't too keen on, but I am keen on. So the energy is still there to produce it. But
is that
it'll
the technical
be interesting.
One by any chance?
Say again?
Is that the technical one by any chance?
No. Actually, I can tell you. It's the Isle of Wight Lifestyle podcast. The reason I like it is because it's a chance to talk about the area where we live and maybe connect with some like-minded entrepreneurs on the island. That's the way I see it. So it's kind of a personal passion project. The reason Isabella is not so keen on it is because she can't see where it's going, apart from just being a passion. So, you know, we'll see how that goes. But, I mean, it's something... Actually, I think I registered that domain name in 2013. So I think I've had it for about a year and haven't taken action on it. I've been ready to take action on it, but it's always been like, not sure about this. But then it just kind of, it worked into the plan quite nicely for the 5 podcast episodes. So we thought, why not?
Yeah, no, that's great. I know exactly what you mean there. I've got ideas like that as well, where I don't think it fits into my business at all. It doesn't fit into creating more earnings or even creating more value for listeners. It's more actually, I would just find it fun to do. And
yeah.
It has extra benefits. For example, one of the ones I've always thought about is that I would love to do a podcast with my wife about general parenting and life with children.
Yeah.
Not because I think that we know a lot about it, but actually I think it'd be great for us to have a reason to sit down and just talk for an hour. You know, like we obviously talk, but you know, in sort of busy life and with everything else going on, you can miss that opportunity. So even just so that I don't think that would get us of any kind of particular value, monetary or business wise or anything, but it would be so much more valuable for us.
Yes, so just, I totally agree with you. Does your wife podcast yet?
No, not at all.
Ah, no, is she interested in it?
She is. I have recorded one test episode. So I managed to convince her. She's very against being recorded and that kind of stuff. But I convinced her to put on a lapel mic on the couch, and we just sat on the couch with two lapel mics. So it was very unobtrusive. Like, we were just basically having a chat. And it worked. Yeah. I thought it worked quite well, actually. So I might well release that at some point. We'll see.
That's good. Well, what I would do is I would maybe get your wife onto Podcraft. I assume Podcraft is your most listened to and downloaded podcast. Would I be right?
Actually, it's not. Funnily enough, no. My mountain biking podcast is a fair bit more popular, just because there's a lot less competition in that niche.
Okay.
And there's just a lot of people looking for it. So yeah.
So get your wife onto one of your popular podcasts as a guest,
yep.
And then invite your community to give feedback on her. That's exactly how Isabella got hooked into it.
Oh, really?
Okay. It was back on episode 38 or 39 of the Music Radio Creative Podcast. I'd been podcasting solo up until that point. Uh-huh. And then Isabella, traditionally a Music Radio Creative, she works on the business side, on the human resources side, hiring people, doing all of that kind of stuff. I that leaves me to focus on more creative stuff that I enjoy doing.
Yeah, yeah.
And she said to me one day, she said, I'm having a real trouble recruiting. So we were looking at the time for new voiceover artists. And she said, I'm having real trouble with this, getting lots of applications, but you know, can you think of a good way to sort of access a good community? Because often it's not about like how far and wide you advertise, but where you advertise. So it's just finding that one place.
Yeah.
And I said to her, well, why don't you just come and chat to me, you know, for like half an hour on the microphone, and let's talk about the fact we're looking for voice artists on the podcast. What a great topic. And see what reaction we get. So we did that. And Isabella had her say. And then at the end, I just said, oh, you know, what did you think of Isabella on this podcast? Can you leave your feedback? And then, of course, we got a mailing list as well. So I then emailed the mailing list and I said, oh, you know, Isabella from Music Radio Creative has just been on. Please go and leave a comment. Let us know what you think. So all of these people in the community were commenting and saying, wow, that Isabella was great and so much better than you, Mike. And she levels you out, and kind of getting that feedback, I think, hooked somehow Isabella in and made her realize that I don't think she ever didn't realize the value of podcasting, because she'd worked with podcasters.
Sure.
But it was just actually seeing all that feedback coming in, and it's quite powerful, isn't it? When you release an episode, when I release an episode, it's always a goal, isn't it, to get comments on that episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
And when you see comments, you think, oh, that was a good episode, don't you? But even it's funny how you can do really good content and then not get a single comment, and you're like, why on earth did that not get anything? And I thought that was killer content.
Yeah, totally.
But I think often, you know, when you do stuff like that, people are in listening mode. So they're like, oh, that was really good, but I don't feel the need to comment. And sometimes you just have to ask, don't you? You have to say, please leave a comment on this episode.
Yeah, definitely. I know it's so rewarding when somebody actually emails me, or even just leaves someone on the Facebook page or whatever. But I can understand people not, because I don't do it very often because of the context in which I listen to podcasts, which is generally in the car or out for a walk. Yeah. So it's not practical for me to do it. It's a shame. That's another thing that needs to be solved in the whole podcasting problem, I guess.
So I think one of the best tips I can give on getting comments is to ask directly. Yeah. So and try and make it easy for your listener to do just simply one thing. So at the end of again, this is getting into like podcasting about podcasting again. You know, at the end of a podcast episode, you'll often hear the host saying, okay, so go and leave me a review on iTunes. You can do that at podcraft.com/iTunes, or you leave me a review on Stitcher. Oh, I'd love it if you'd like the page on Facebook as well. Oh, we've got a Twitter account at the podcast host, you know, and by the way, if you like this episode, do leave a comment as well. So,
yeah, exactly.
Like one action. And if you've got an email list as well, like you say, people often listen to the podcast and then forget about it and don't do it. Yeah. But if you can then follow up with those listeners who are engaged on your email list and just simply say, here's the new episode, really like to know what you think, click here to leave a comment, make it really easy. And
you know. That's a great tip, actually. Yeah, just put it in the email, put it in your notifications. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. The things you send out to people, because that'll sit in our inbox until you do something about it.
Totally. And you know, even I suffer from this. I use email marketing a lot, and often I think, oh, I've got three or four things I want to put into this newsletter I'm about to send. It's like, no, Mike, no, one thing. Yeah, if you put three things, you water everything down, but one thing, and usually they'll do it or they won't they?
So. Yeah, definitely. Great. Okay, well, that's excellent. It's great to hear about the plans for the podcast. Anyway, looking forward to hearing that. So this week, do you think? Well, actually, when people listen to this, it should be already.
I think yes. I think we could safely say by the time you listen to this, check it out.
I shall do that myself later this week.
UKpodcasters.com.
Great. Okay, well, it's been great to chat to you, Mike. Thanks so much for coming on.
It's been awesome, Colin.
And thanks, as always, for listening, folks. We'll see you on the next episode. We'll go back to normal programming, and that'll be more about podcasting equipment, the next part in the audio chain. We'll talk to you then. Cheers.